Hello, and welcome to episode 382. I got the number right. Very proud of myself. Of the Waiting Since Last Saturday podcast. We don't have the drums. We don't have the Scott, but we do have the Tony. Hello, Tony Waller. Happy G-Day week to you.
To all who celebrate, we are 100% less Scott, exactly the same amount of Tony and Will.
Yes, and don't worry. This podcast will have nothing to do with religion or politics, unless while we're taping, Kirby has a press conference and suddenly has like a lot of thoughts on like the Arizona State Supreme Court, that seems unlikely. I would say
just dudes being dudes.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, hi Tony. Is G-Day week? We wanted to get one on the schedule here. It's gonna be a short, I guess I say it's short, though. Again, I always point out the listener knows how long the podcast is and I don't right now, so we'll find out. But G-Day is Saturday, so we kind of wanted to chat a little bit before G-Day got going, because G-Day is, you know, I made my thoughts about G-Day kind of clear at a certain level. I have a longtime sports writer rule of trying to avoid sporting events, traveling to sporting events that don't actually have sporting events. So I don't like to go to drafts or the winter meetings in baseball, but there are at least some things that they'll be throwing the football around. There will be points on the board. There will be a clock. It's G-Day, and more to the point, it announces that that is the end of the last cycle and the beginning of the new cycle season. So before we get into going that, how's it going, Tony? I missed the eclipse entirely. I was working on Monday. We were in Florida last week for spring break, and I had a lot to get caught up on Monday. And I looked up, and I was like, oh, it's a little darker. And it was a little darker here in Athens, not dramatically so, but a little darker. But your eclipse experience was, I think, more intense than mine.
It was indeed. So my in-laws live in the area of the totality there in southern Indiana. And we've had plans for months and months. Probably since 2017, the last one to go up. And we went up this weekend. And it was, I do not hesitate to say this, it is an amazing event. I've kind of been enamored with eclipses my entire life. I mean, even lunar eclipses get my attention. And of course, when 2017, we drove over to South Carolina, took the kids over to see the total eclipse and got experienced that with them again. And, you know, my kids, I have a freshman in college. I have a freshman going, or a senior is going off to college next year. So, you know, I'm kind of bumping up against that time where, you know, the family trip thing is going to be a little different, but the opportunity to go see a total eclipse is just really crazy, amazing. And, you know, in some 18 years or thereabout, the next total solar eclipse will go across, eclipse South Georgia, North Florida, thereabout. And then 10 or so, 5-7 years after that, there'll be another total eclipse. I actually go over where I grew up in Southeast Georgia. But you know, having said all of that, I did get to spend this past weekend with my in-laws. Of course, they are massive college basketball fans, as am I, as are you. And I think it is important to have a short conversation considering where Georgia's basketball season ended up, to talk a little bit about the resurgence of women's college basketball and just in the national consciousness. And also, you know, I have to say, what UConn did, and I don't want to make you, I want to get in your feels about your Illini, because of course UConn beat Illinois. What UConn did is pretty amazing, considering the last 2 years that they have put, the run they put up the last 2 years in the NCAA tournament. What 12 straight games of double digit wins in really, really no team. I mean, other than, you know, Illinois and Purdue for a brief minute, maybe even look like they belong on the floor with UConn.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been watching UConn just destroy everyone, and I find myself going, okay, well, Illinois was briefly 23-23. So whenever they get around 23, around the 23rd point, I always gauge and see where other teams are, because then Connecticut just pours it on. They poured it on particularly violently against Illinois, scoring 30 consecutive points. But whatever, Illinois made the Elite Eight. I had a good time, man. Like, I'm not gonna argue for that. That was a good time. So, but certainly Connecticut was awesome, and Connecticut really, I would say Connecticut's basketball run feels not dissimilar to what Georgia did during those two consecutive championships, right? Like, I think there's some similarities. I think the way the teams were constructed were different, but the idea that it was more dramatic the first year, and the second year they just plowed over everyone. I think there's some similarity. I would argue it's probably, I would say it's a little harder to do in basketball. I hope that's a offensive thing to say, just because they're so, like, they have, like, we'll see how many teams repeat when they have to go through five rounds of tournaments. For Georgia, basically what Connecticut did in the tournament was have its TCU get Georgia's TCU game 12 straight times. So, and I got to see it happen against my team. So congratulations to them. And for what it's worth, I don't know why we're leading with that anyway, because a lot more people were watching the women's game in South Carolina and Iowa and Caitlin Clark. You know, the women's basketball is having a moment when a lot of people are having a very series of stupid conversations about it. That's how you know that women's basketball is huge, because people that don't pay attention to basketball, women's basketball, or even sports, suddenly have many, many opinions on it. That's a good sign. That means you're busting through. As a baseball person, I knew that the Houston, the Astros garbage can banging story was a huge story, because people that never watched baseball had thoughts on it. So very good for women's basketball. And yes, Georgia men's basketball they made it to the Final Four of the NIT, which I think it required some teams opting out of the NIT for them to even get in, but they made a nice little run. And so far, they are four players that have entered the transfer portal from Georgia. I would say the biggest name is Jabri Abdur-Rahim, though I think we've had 4 years of him to see. He's been perfectly fine, and I mean no offense to the guy, but I think everybody understands why he might decide it was time to move. Justin Hill is also leaving. Jalen Deloach and Mari Jordan, no one that you're going to sweat too much on that so far. So, and particularly with people coming in for Georgia basketball, not the worst thing in the world. Did you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think anybody leaving. Yeah, I like the roles that Deloach and Abdur-Rahim played. But I also think whatever opportunities that might be afforded to them for their next stop, it might be better for both them and Georgia basketball. I just think they probably were bumping up against the ceiling of utilization and what Mike White wants to do. I think the one thing I would take away from the run for the NIT, and everyone's like, oh, it's just NIT, whatever. I was heartened to see a team that looked like a young team struggling to figure themselves out finally put together a run where they was still multiple games where they did what felt like really the same thing in many games, where they would go out to a lead and then just kind of lose all sense of what they were trying to accomplish and didn't have a killer instinct or just like could not switch gears into that next thing, which is to maintain a lead. Because we saw that all through February and early March. And to be able to do that in a run, yeah, look, it's NIT. These are all teams with, you beat two major conference teams on the road, and you did so in a way that kind of left all doubt out of your, like, they weren't fluke wins, right? They went on the road and beat Wake Forest and Ohio State. And the reality is, Seton Hall ended up winning that, ended up winning the tournament, and then they and Georgia's just they lost that thing they had. So it was heartening to see Georgia put that together in that run of those three games to get where they got to, because it's something you build on, right? I mean, we get to hang a banner, which after so many years of just bad basketball and like, what are we even doing here, is a little fun, and I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's reason to be excited about them next year, though. It's very weird. I was thinking about Illinois basketball next year, and I was like, I wonder where they're going to be. And I wonder where they're going to be in the Big Ten. And then I realized, right, I have to allot for USC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon. It's very weird that's next year. But anyway, speaking of which, the start of our college football season, the new world of college athletics really is next year, which means I think it's kind of cool to go ahead and start talking about Georgia football, the spring game. It's 1 o'clock, by the way. That's earlier than usual. Do you know why they're doing it earlier than usual?
I think a lot of the dew has worn off. I mean, there's still work being done on the South stands. You can't sit there. Based on a couple of email pushes I've seen for tickets, they're not expecting a massive crowd. So I think you are in a situation where you could have people who are, somebody asked me, what do you think would be? I was like, 20,000, 25,000. Somebody's like, do you think that's all the show? I was like, feels like, yeah, I'm not pushing it hard.
Like, remember right, how it was like the idea, like, we got to fill the place. We got to show how awesome we are. They clearly, like, don't need to show that anymore. So I think there's no reason to push too hard.
They'll just take recruits and show them the shiny trophies, and which is what you should be doing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but it still gives us a chance to get on campus, have a good time, kind of stretch our muscles after 4 months of not being able to tailgate. Break out the tailgate stuff to make sure you remember where it is before you put it away again for August or end of August. We're going to be out there tailgating. I think as far as what you look for in this game, like every spring game, you don't want anybody to get hurt. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of where some of the receivers slot in. I'm looking forward to seeing Gunnar Stockton throw the ball some, because I think he'll have some. I think, frankly, you won't see much out of what do you need Sal Carson back? You got 13 games of tape on him from last year. And then defensively, I think it's going to be fun to see kind of how some of the young guys fit in, especially on the back end of the defense. And other than that, it's like, let's just get through the hour and a half of TV block and have nobody hurt and have a good time tailgating.
There have been times where I think we went to your place one time to watch the G-Day game, and we missed it last year, but we were there before, where it's like, oh, like half the excitement is just seeing, here's this freshman, like who's this person that we're actually going to get to see do something or that we've never seen before. Is there anybody like that? Is there anyone that you just want to see physically them on the field? Is there anyone to that level, or have they evolved past that now?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think seeing specifically the offensive line, some of the guys that you, seeing how Dylan Fairchild and Ernest Green work on the left side of the line and kind of what that looks like. And then, again, talking about the back end defense, kind of whatever that combination of C.J. Allen, Julian Humphrey, Malachi Start looks like. I mean, we kind of know what Malachi Start looks like, but just to have – just see kind of how that rotation works on the back end. And then Dan Jackson didn't play as much as I would have thought last year, but, you know, he slots in at free safety just because he's such an impact player, a leader on the field, and get to see that. As far as young guys go, it's kind of hard to say. I assume Ryan Puglisi has been on campus, and we'll see him some as well. That's the freshman quarterback. But beyond that, you know, I got to see Trevor Etienne get tackled a lot, but I got to see him play in Jacksonville. So I think, you know, I'm old enough now not to look at the G-Day game or spring games as some sort of harbinger of things to come, because, you know, somebody's going to have a crazy game. Name a receiver. London Humphreys is going to have like seven catches for two touchdowns and, you know, a couple of like really crazy, you know, run up the ladder, one-handed, you know, Pickens style catches or something. I mean, you know, that's going to happen. I mean, the old get the picture, always had the QBR, spring QBR as a running joke or running meme. And, you know, you're going to see some of that this year too, just because it's a spring game. But overall, I'm just excited to get out there. I mean, it's been, you know, the baseball season is we've eased into baseball season. The SEC part of the season, we've been competitive, but not quite putting away series. I still think they are probably an NCAA baseball team. We've had a decent basketball season, at least the men's side. So this is a nice little like pinpoint along with Masters weekend to say, looks like we have a pretty little April weekend in store. Let's go have some fun.
Also, I'd like to note, I just want to remind everyone that this will be our first opportunity to see new wide receiver Nitro Tuggle. I feel like Nitro Tuggle is going to become the guy that who's, even if he doesn't even dress for a game. And he is for those who don't know, he is an incoming freshman from Indiana. Do you know where Goshen is? That's where he's from, Goshen, Indiana. Do you know where that's from? Where that is?
I think it's somewhere up north, right?
In the north. I don't know. Goshen's is, if it's not near Terre Haute, I probably don't know where it is. That's because Terre Haute is as far into Indiana as we Mattoonians go. But Goshen, Indiana, Nitro Tuggle. I've got Nitro Tuggle fever. And so I would like to, it does feel like your first opportunity to see Nitro Tuggle in the flesh. And for the record, his name is actually Natarian Tuggle, but he quite understandably goes by Nitro Tuggle. If my name, I want to kind of want to go by Nitro Leech now, even though Nitro has no similarity to my actual name. So by all means, he should do so. You mentioned Etienne, but we have not really talked about his issue that's happened since we talked last. He has had freaking cars in his team.
It was a nice little run. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that this keeps happening. It's bizarre.
It's one thing for have players getting in trouble, which happens at a lot of schools. I would argue is happening more at Georgia than you would like it to, but it's particularly strange that it's this specific issue.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, especially considering what happened 15 months ago.
Also, he just got here. Like, this didn't even happen to him at Florida.
Right.
Like, this happened to him here. Like, it's not even
you could argue.
Go ahead.
Their Uber program is probably better for it. Apparently. It's just dumb. It's just an own goal that you cannot, I just don't understand. But, you know, on the other hand, brains aren't fully formed at 21 or whatever. I don't know. It's a shame. It is. It's just what it is. When you have a coach that speaks on this so passionately as Kirby, you can't possibly think that they aren't trying everything they can think of to address it.
Roughly,
that's all you can do.
Yeah, I guess. I understand. I'm not saying that. I'm sure they're doing their best to address it, but it is not being addressed. It's a weird thing that it keeps happening, I will say. Going to the game for a moment, what such as it is, I know it's just a fun time and it's a good start to like a good sports season. Do you subscribe, I obviously not spring QBR, but do you subscribe to anything that you can get a sense, like the running back rotation, for example? Like, do you get a sense that you can tell anything from that early or no?
Yeah, I think there are two places you can. Offensive line and running back are the two that make a lot of sense to me to look for. I mean, we have, Tate Bradledge is and Xavier Truss are there. We're going to have a new center, I'm not quite sure who that's going to be today, but probably Jared Wilson, just because you do have, Mims, Van Pran, both are gone. And then the other thing is, it's frankly seeing who's going to step up at tight end. Brock Bowers, we saw a little bit of that with Oscar Delp last year. Lawson Lucky should be healthy. I don't think they're going to do a whole lot to run either of those guys out there just because Lucky was injured some last year. I think getting to see a little bit whether it be Robinson Paul or Etienne or I don't see any real need to. I see a real need to pound the ball a lot, but just to see how they look in blocking, especially with the quarterbacks all wearing green jerseys, no contact, that becomes a little more highlighted. just because you have a touch gets them down.
Yeah. I mean, better. I really feel like a swath of air should cut somebody who's getting them down.
Kirby will blow the whistle when they look hard at him. You're right.
Yeah, I would like to argue that Carson Beck is currently in the grasp. Like at this moment, right now, is in the grasp and should not be touched.
In the grasp of a leg tattoo.
Yeah, you know, yeah, in the grasp of a nice car, and which he better respect. That's what I give up. That's what I give up. If Carson Beck gets in some sort of driving, I'm out. Like at that point. Everybody's got to take. I'll bring the scooters back. You know, we'll let the scooters come back. Okay, let's not talk crazy. We're not letting that happen. And this game, by the way, is on SEC Network Plus, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's the game that Ball State A&M will be on. I was just about to look at. Yeah, ESPN SEC Plus. So yeah, you need to have your internets in order to watch it.
Yeah, which is fine. Or you can go. And I have looked at, I think the weather's supposed to be nice this weekend. Like we just had a miserable day on Tuesday, but I get it. Like, again, we talk about this all the time, but you know, there's this really huge building that holds a lot of people and is basically the center of the universe, both campus wise and, you know, around the entire state. And it's only open 7 days a year for us to be able to go. This is one of them. So I'm not going, but I certainly will not begrudge anyone for going to this. But it is funny to see how it's been de-emphasized, and I understand why. As I said, show them the trophies at a certain level. I don't think that they need to prove anything to anyone anymore from this, but it's still a nice thing that they do. And I'm curious, have you looked around? Is Auburn, like, does Alabama still try to sell theirs out? Is DeBoer trying to do a feat of strength there? Is Auburn do this, or has everyone kind of backed off of this in the last few years?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like, right? It feels like there's less noise. I guess it makes sense that Alabama with Kalen DeBoer would slow roll it. But even a place like FSU or it just feels like it does feel like there's less noise around spring games this year. I can't really put my finger on why that is, but I think I agree with you.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem, and whatever. And it's just weird. The weirdest part, as I kind of go through, Georgia did a official spring guide that I've been kind of flipping through while talking. And it is funny to me because it's just a reminder. We talked all last year about how last year was basically the final year of college football as you knew it. And that doesn't mean college football is about to get bad. In fact, as I've mentioned before, in the short term, it's going to get really good. It's going to be next year. You just look at the schedule. It's absolutely insane. The schedule's being put together. It'll be very exciting to watch. Again, I think there's long-term issues that are going to come with that, but certainly it's very cool that they're doing it. It is, but it's a reminder that, like, wait, the people that are here practicing, that's next season. That's happening like it's April. It's happening in basically 4.5 months. We're 4.5 months away from the start of that. It's August 31st. That's the first game. It's the middle of April. It's actually happening. And so this is the first event of the new era of college football.
Yeah, especially as it relates to the expanded SEC. And, you know, it was funny. We were having conversations about what trips we're going to take in the fall. And, you know, when you were trying to make some decisions between Mississippi, Kentucky, Alabama, and going to Austin, Texas, on top of Georgia, Florida, it sounds like a pretty decent road trip, all of them. Yeah. So, it's time to buckle in, Will. We're staring down the barrel of, we're still 3 months away from, we're still 3 months away from, them having to go to Birmingham, or I guess the media days will be in Birmingham, yeah. But we're only a few weeks away from the draft, where our man, Ladd McConkey, and Bowers and Marius Mims, and I mean, we'd stand a shot of having four guys in the first round, which, you know, 3 months ago would have been a little bit of a surprising thing. But you know, it's always good to see Georgia players get highlighted on that first night. And it wouldn't surprise me to see four of them.
Also, one thing that we have not talked about that I think I kind of wanted to get to was Stetson Bennett. Looks like he's going to be back at Rams camp. And
yeah,
and in fact, the coaches have been like very straightforward about how they would like to see him be a part of the team next year. And I was worried about that, to be entirely honest. And I know the Rams signed Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think they're counting on him being the backup, nor should they. But, you know, the NFL is a really, really mean league, and they will chop people for nothing. The idea the Rams still want to be in the Stetson Bennett business after last year, I think is cool and exciting and continues to be something that I think everybody's pretty hopeful will work out.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're even to the point now where they're talking about potentially trading the rights to Stetson.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so obviously, look, Sean McVay is a really smart quarterback guy. And if he sees that, it's probably there, right? So I don't know. It's interesting. But I'm happy for Stetson that he is now kind of whatever it was he's dealing with, he is now well enough to go to offseason workouts, and even to the point where the Rams think they might have either a place for him on their team or feel like he is a tradable asset.
Which is good. It's exciting. We like to see that. We like to see that, to say the very least. All right. Well, anything else you want to hit before we close up our quick kind of wrap show? You are tailgating.
Yep, I'll be out there. If you wander by, we'll be there. I appreciate you you taking the time. Well,
please. I'm more available than the constantly underwater Scott Duvall.
Yeah, so I think one thing we should mention about Scott. So Scott is Scott, on top of his extremely busy day job doing photo shoots, both marketing and other photo shoots. His neighbor, we've talked about his neighbor Chris Kirk, who is playing the Masters of the
Week. Yeah,
and Scott, part of the deal, Scott goes over and does like actual shoots for Chris during his practice rounds, and I think he's doing it for the par three tomorrow as well. And then, of course, he takes the whole family over because it's the Masters, and that's what you do.
Oh yeah.
On top of that, he's got a kid who is starting for Oconee County High School golf. A kid that is now playing regularly on the varsity baseball team at Oconee County, and his daughter Vivian is involved in spring sports with volleyball. And
so they're busy. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. He's not doing volleyball. She's doing something else in the spring. I don't remember which it is, but either way, they are super busy, and they're busy in a way that. Now that I have, all of my children have driver's license and vehicles, and that's consider that your fair warning, Athens area. I suddenly am no longer dad Uber in the way I was even till pretty recently. But I'm in the middle of watching my son Charlie finish up his final season in track and field. And of course, Katie just wrapped up being in a play in Oconee County, and they had their run right before we went to Indiana. So, you're heading into this time, the time where they are super busy, are not able to motivate themselves around because, you know, you were put on earth to drive them somewhere.
I have to say the idea of them being, I mean, we talk often about them being able to move themselves around. It will be very nice. it will be very, very nice, to say the very least.
Well, you end up with a whole new set of things. Like you worry about every time they pull away from your house, but, you know, that also passes soon when you're like, okay, they belong to the world now. And that's one of the, I'm in that phase of parenthood, right? You know, it's time to set them free.
Right now I don't trust them to go in the next room without breaking something, but eventually
I'm still there.
Yeah. Eventually, maybe someday, perhaps. But all right, well, and everything over here is I'm doing a lot more MLB stuff over here. And then by the time we talk next, assuming we don't talk in the next month, which we might, I'll have my freaking book done, which is I am desperate and very eager to have off my plate because you always forget how long they are. They're very long. And I'm close to being done, but close to being done with the book is farther away. It's still like more writing than left to do than most people do in over several years. So I'm eager to get through.
You're just in the turned in. You're just in the turn it in. We're still a year from publishing.
Oh yeah. We have the paperback version of The Time Has Come will be out in a month. It'll be out next May. I'm sure we'll send some over the social media channels, but I don't know if we're going to have a big event for that. Paperback is just sort of another thing. Now you can get it at a Target rather than at a bookstore. Other than that, it's a busy time. So I'm always impressed that we are able to get anything together during this time of year because it is absolutely insane what's all going on. And now I got a son who's texting girls. It's wild. It happened. It comes on you real fast.
It does. Life moves at you fast, my man.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Will. It's great to chat with you. And, I hope to see you this weekend. If not, we'll catch up soon. And,
are you going to the game itself or are you just tailgating?
Up in the air. Okay. I have tickets and, you know, some combination, you know, Maggie will be there with the Redcoats. It really depends on how many of my kids want to go and do. So we'll see.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, everyone enjoy. One of the things I'm floating, by the way, one thing we did not do last year that I would have very much liked to and what like to do this year. We never had our get together with listeners this year just because the schedule went out. I feel obliged to point out that Georgia's final three games this year are at home. So it sure feels like there's going to be an opportunity there. At one of them,
I hope we can do it. I was thinking about that the other day.
The schedule works out much better for that to happen this year. It doesn't even have to be Thanksgiving because in the past, when Georgia has hosted Georgia Tech, we've done it then. But they've got UMass the week before and Tennessee the week before that. So I think we're going to be able to do it this year because I miss everyone. And the election will have just happened then. So it will be a time for healing and reunification.
If nothing else, we can all get together and have a drink.
At the very, very least. Hopefully. Yes, hopefully we'll be able to do that. All right, Tony, have a good one. Enjoy the game. Good luck to everyone out there. Holler at us at WSLS Podcast and email Scott. But otherwise, enjoy it, everyone. Enjoy spring game. Enjoy being out there. Good luck to Chris Kirk at the Masters. I, as someone who's not a golf person, I still watch the freaking Masters. I'm not a monster. So I'll be, and to have that Rooney interest will be very, very exciting. All right, Tony, have a good one. Be safe out there. And until we talk then, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.